Hello, hello, and welcome to Cybercast. Today, we are coming to you live from the Nordic-Baltic Security Summit 2025. I am your host, Ronnie Anhold, and in this episode titled Securing the Last Mile, we dive into a case study how Estonia's public sector fortified its cyber defenses. Our guests are here Indrek Turben from Trend Micro, and Andri Rebane, who is the Chief Security Officer of Estonian IT Center. Estonian abbreviation is RIT. Together with NevaHack, we teamed up to play out the project in securing endpoints. A massive size of endpoints, right? The last mile of cybersecurity. So, whether you're a cybersecurity professional or just curious how a digital nation stays secure, stick around for some real-world insights and actionable takeaways. Huh? Court of Cyber is in session. Hello. Hello, Indrek.
Hello.
Who are you? What is your background?
Yeah, I'm Indrek. I'm from Trend Micro. In Trend Micro, my position is, let's say, security sales engineer, pre-sales. Background is I have been in IT business more than 20 years, I believe even 25 plus years. Started from Osborne Computers assembling computers and moved to the networking, doing networking security and IT projects and pre-sales, after sales. And then after 20 years in one company, I decided to make a change. So now I'm in cyber, last almost 7 years.
So you are one of those guys like me, when electricity goes away, we don't know anything to do, right?
No.
We're completely useless when power goes away. What is Trend Micro?
Trend Micro is a global company doing only cybersecurity. 35 plus years already in the market. Obviously doing products, but I think the most important is that doing a lot of threat research. And more than 7,000 employees worldwide, headquartered in Tokyo, and that's it, yeah.
Hello, we have a second guest as well, so Andre. Hello, Andre.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Who are you, Andre?
Like you mentioned, I work in the Estonian IT Center, RIT, as a Chief Information Security Officer. I've been working in IT only 20 years, so I'm a small boy compared to Indrek. But most of my career I've spent in defense. So I worked in the defense forces, in Ministry of Defense, started also as a IT help desk and moved on. And I ended up there as a director of cyber policy department in the Ministry of Defense.
Yep.
And I also created a foundation CR14. So go check that out also.
So trying to understand a little bit, opening the problem. So Andre, RIT. What is RIT, and what kind of customers does RIT have? What kind of services do you offer to them?
Well, RIT is still one of the newest IT centers that the Estonian government has. We have been operational 3.5 years, and our main mission is to provide Estonian government workplace and government cloud. So, and within that current workplace, obviously we have hardware, software, security, printing, video conferencing, whatever a office worker needs, we will provide this. And obviously we need different products also to secure this environment.
So you are also, apart from the desktop services and what you described, you also offer security for your customers. So what kind of security challenges does RIT have overall? And specifically, what kind of security challenges were you facing that led up to this EDR initiative?
So, like I mentioned, we are quite new, and our mission is actually to migrate government workplace to one single service provider. So currently we have 8,500-ish users. And this will grow to 15,000 next year. So the first challenge is the amount of people. So I would say that in Estonia, we are one of the biggest companies that are providing this workplace. And obviously, the user is still one of the main threat actors for us. So they are clicking different links, they are opening malicious files in the emails, they are putting their removable devices into the computer. So pretty standard stuff that has been going on for 20 years. But when the amount is that big, you have more and more people who are like really not familiar with the policies, and they are not very cautious, and not everyone has been actually through the security training. So this is our like main challenge.
Mm-hmm. So Indra, can you explain the role of EDR on endpoints? How does it detect threats that slip past other defenses?
Yes, well, when we talk about endpoints, then at one point adversaries will be in our endpoints, so it's obviously important to have visibility. But first of all, you need to have also protection, so endpoint protection, endpoint detection response. Nowadays it's the same, you should have them both, obviously. But when you think about EDR, why it matters, you can think of the analog that you have a house, you have windows, you have doors, you have doors locked, windows closed. And now if somebody breaks in through the window or the door, you want to know what they steal, where did they go, who they were, and etc. So if you don't have cameras on the walls, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And EDR basically the same thing, that once they break in, and there is no 100% protection, even though we have endpoint security, yeah? Once they break in, you want to understand what did they steal, where did they move laterally, and if you don't record telemetry from the endpoints, it's pretty difficult to tell. So basically recording telemetry, it means that recording process executions, file manipulation, register changes, network connections, etc. So without that data, it's difficult to detect them, first of all. And then also, once you understand what they did, and it helps you to understand faster, it also helps you to kick them out faster. That's mm-hmm. the purpose of the EDR. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So EDR is most definitely not your antivirus, right? It's a bit more.
It's a part of the antivirus. They both work hand in hand, and you shouldn't only stick to the endpoints. Add more layers, more visibility, emails, network, containers, cloud, etc.
But Andriy, why do you say that endpoints, user endpoints, are considered as the last mile?
So when it comes to our organization, we don't actually have like public databases. So we don't need to protect those. So our main threat vector comes from the users, from their endpoints. So that's why that last mile for us is very important. And although we have been moving to cloud more and more using M365 services, also EDR is in the cloud, everything goes to the cloud, we still see that the main effort goes to securing those endpoints. Because, well, let's say vendors do a pretty good work securing their own environments, and we would never have this capability and resources to actually to defend those big systems. So that's why currently our main focus is on the last mile and endpoints.
I'm also trying to understand, why did you choose Trend Micro? So from the customer perspective, what were your requirements?
When we started this journey, we took all the biggest vendors to our table, and we asked them to pitch what they are providing. And we concluded that all those major vendors actually, for 80%, they do the same thing. Obviously, there are like small things that are different, and that last 20% is something that everyone provides extra. But we decided that we will go for 80-20 method, so getting 80% of value from 20% of effort and money. So this should be like enough for us. And the procurement was done in a way that our technical requirement actually said that this 80% needs to be solved. And eventually we just compared the prices. But well, let's say Trend Micro gave us also some extra benefits from there. So I would say we were pretty lucky in that sense. And it's also good that they have pretty good support throughout the process. They were able to give like good information, answer our questions. So this was also a major thing why to consider them.
Okay. So it's a question of trust, Indrek. So cybersecurity is a trust business, and being a technology provider, we would like to know, how do you build trust towards the product? It's challenging, right?
Well, I think that I would say that the most important thing is threat research. You really need to have, well, everybody can create a product, but those product and scanners are as good as the threat research is. So I think that Trend Micro has, I think, really good threat research. We have research centers all over the world. And we also have, let's say, researchers in underground forums monitoring the threat actors, what they are doing, where they are moving, what are their plans, so we can also improve our defenses. Malware research, obviously, but big part is also vulnerability research, where Trend Micro really shines. Last year, we closed 73% of the publicly known vulnerabilities in the market. So that is quite big advantage, because that information that goes directly to our products. So we have zero-day initiative bug bounty program. And through that, plus through our research, we are seeing a lot of vulnerabilities. And once we have the vulnerability on hold, we check if that's exploitable. We then tell it to the vendor, disclose it responsibly, and give the vendor 90 days to patch. And if they don't patch, then we come public, because everybody should know, and because we want them to be able to protect themselves. But all that 90 days and before, we put that knowledge to the product. So what it means is that, for example, we have IPS models on the endpoints, server workloads, and also network appliances. So those 0 days and 10 days, if they are exploitable and you can remotely execute the code, we prevent that, kind of shielding the vulnerabilities so that you have time to patch. So what I want to say, that building the trust is, I think that's really important. And by the way, the CDI, we visited with Andrei Berlin this year. Was they are organizing pound-to-own contests multiple times in a year. So there are, the last time there was a VirtualBox, VMware, NVIDIA, Microsoft, all of them got exploited in that context, and we got quite many 0 days, and we paid more than $1 million. And this time in Cork in October, there will be another context, another competition, and then the sponsor Meta is there with a WhatsApp. So if somebody brings us zero click vulnerability in a WhatsApp, that enables to execute code remotely, then that's only costs us $1 million, and resources get $1 million.
Wow, that's good money, huh?
Yeah, come October Cork. If you have any vulnerabilities for WhatsApp, zero click, bring them.
You also work a lot with different customers. You work with private customers. You work with public customers. So, what's the difference? Are they facing different threats?
Well, in overall, I think it's the same threat, that you have cyber risks and threat actors are trying to break in. But maybe the purpose or goal is a bit different. When we talk about government, then those APTs, threat actors who are after the government, they are mainly nation state sponsored threat actors. They get money from the governments, and they have a lot of resources, and they don't want you. Basically, they try to break things. And when you talk of private sector, then they are more after money. Of course, North Korea is also after the money because they need money. But other nations, they are not that interested in the money. They want your data. They want disruptions. So, in government, I think information about those APTs is really important, so that you know who is behind that attack, what kind of malware they are usually using, what are the vulnerabilities they are usually exploiting, what are the IOCs associated with them. So if you know that information beforehand, it's easier for you to prepare and defend yourself.
Well, maybe we should go to North Korea and invite them to the bug bounty, right?
Yes. Well, to be honest, in the bug bounty context, there are a lot of people all over the world, so, but not from North Korea. I think South Korea, yes.
At least that you know of.
At least we don't know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So about the journey of implementation for EDR, Andre, can you walk us through the deployment process?
So we started from the greenfield, but obviously you have some legacy background there. So what we started with was looking at the policies that we had from the previous products. So for example, for firewall, you need to like bring some of the stuff together. But overall, I would say that the process was quite lean in a way that we were able to start really fast, deploy a couple of hundreds of machines, people get this feeling of how the product works, and we were actually able to deploy the next batch of like 3,000 machines within a couple of weeks already, but only in a limited scope, in a way that it worked only as a EDR basically and firewall. And then we started implementing the next modules. So we are heavily using vulnerability management module, for example, just to get the feeling what kind of vulnerabilities are on the machine. Also, not only from the operational system side, but also from applications, for example. We have implemented the removable device module. So by default, we have disabled the devices. We have the email module, for example. So the emails will be called back when you have something malicious, even if it's like an old one. We are now continuing with the additional features. So not only from the EDR side, but also like Kubernetes module, cloud security posture, identity posture. Mm-hmm. So it's a long journey, actually. And each of these steps takes at least like 3 to 6 months to actually know how this product works, how this module works, and to get this feedback from it and the actual value from this.
Mm-hmm. So, Indra, can you point out like common technical challenges of a large-scale rollout? You've seen plenty.
Mm-hmm. I think that the most important is to understand the environment, the customer, where you're going to deploy it. And also, a key thing is the stakeholders, that who is responsible for what, to understand that who is responsible for Windows, Linux, who is responsible for the endpoint rollout, etc. So you need to win the trust of those people so that they cooperate with you. And then there is a better chance for the great success. Yeah. Also, of course, you need to have a knowledgeable partner, like Neverhack in this case. Yeah, and also environment, you need to understand if there are any special software running that you need to create exclusions beforehand so you don't break the business. So to find that fine line of the usability and security, depends on organization.
Small steps.
Yeah.
So what kind of improvements have you seen so far, Andre? Any notable incidents detected, prevented? I understand it's a green field where you started, so.
Yeah, but let's say Trend Micro is quite noisy in a sense that they are not all incidents, but you get a sense of feeling what kind of events are happening in your system. For example, if you have some developers in house and they download some shady modules for their software, you get the notification. You might not do anything with that, but at least you know that this is happening, or you have like Kubernetes secrets laying somewhere, mm-hmm. and things like that. I think nowadays you don't get these like ransomwares and stuff that much anymore, because the adversary is also like more sophisticated, and they know that if you have this product in place, you don't need to send those. But again, phishing, everything, we see that basically daily, and Trend Micro has been very good helping us to prevent those threats.
Slowly but surely, we are running out of time. Thank you for this discussion. Thank you for coming to the show, Andre. Thank you for coming to the show, Indrek. And please enjoy the rest of the event.
Thank you for hosting, Ronnie.
No problem.
Thank you.